Dixie is nonpartisan and does not endorse or support political candidates. To participate in WGXC's on-air dialogue, call 518-828-0290 or email info@wgxc.org.
Hello, world. This is Bill Lawrence, your host today. Today is Tuesday, March 18th, 2014. And of course, yesterday was St. Patrick's Day. We hope you enjoyed spending some green time with your family and friends. This is The World According to Lawrence. It's a monthly radio program hosted by myself, Bill Lawrence from Cairo, New York, and my good friend and producer, Deb Kemica from Catskill, New York. And we put on the show once a month on Tuesday at 10 o'clock, just because we have nothing better to do during Tuesday mornings, all right? Well, however, we are going a little bit crazy this March. You've heard of March Madness, right, in respect to the basketball games. However, Deb and I are going crazy waiting for the snow to melt, for spring to arrive, which arrives this week in a couple of days. We'll be glad to see it come. And so this theme of this show is what's driving us crazy, things that are crazy in the world. And I would think that there are several things on your mind that you think are crazy as well. Maybe one of them is listening to this show. I don't know. In any case, Bill Lawrence, as I said before, this is WGXC 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And I'm a Green County legislator. I live in the town of Cairo, but I represent the town of Cairo with my good friend Harry Lennon, who's also a legislator. And any of the political views expressed by me on this show are certainly not necessarily those of WGXC or my co-host, Deb Kemica, and she'll let you know that herself. But I just wanted to give you some background. I was a former teacher, and I taught for 35 years, and I like doing radio. I think WGXC, which of course is sponsored by donations and helped out by people who donate their time as well, including myself and Deb. We don't do it for money. We don't do it for fame. We just do it to help out the radio station. Because basically, radio stations of this type are very rare and far, you know, few and far between. And in order to keep ours, we need donations from people like you out there listening. So I know last week, for the last couple of weeks, they've been having a big donation drive on this radio station. And if you have heard those requests for donations, you're still eligible to send in money. You're still eligible to call in or stop by and give us some a helping hand to keep this radio station on the air, so that it does not become regionalized or a giant that no longer listens to the local folks that sponsor it, which is, of course, for us, Columbia and Greene County. So let's keep it going. Let's keep shows like this on the air. And the other many great variety of shows that are on WGXC throughout the week. All right, so that was my story, and I'm sticking to it. And now for a little disclosure from my good friend, Deborah Kemica.
Good morning. So I work with the Cairo Public Library, and I'm also on the Radio Advisory Council. I like Bill's comments about the radio station. I think it's important for people to know that WGXC is community radio, and it is a nonprofit. All of the programming is done through volunteers from either Columbia or Greene County, and we're always looking for new ideas for new programs. So if you're interested, there's an application online. that you can fill out. Maybe you want to start with a guest DJ spot, or if you have an idea for a weekly program, whatever, please feel free to submit that. And if you have any recommendations or suggestions about the show in particular, Bill will give you his email address.
Yeah, if you'd like to give us some constructive criticism or just criticism or some comments, you're always free to email me and or Deb at wblawrence65@gmail.com, wblawrence65@gmail.com. Let us know what you're thinking. I always respond to my emails, and I think if you have some good suggestions, we'll be willing to listen to them, because maybe you can send me some emails as to what's driving you crazy this March. We are certainly sick of this weather, either cold. We're all been pent up in the house, and today I'm wearing two different colored socks. It's horrible. It's just driving me nuts, and Debbie, I mean, had to wake her up. She was sleeping at noontime. She's sleeping to noontime, so she had to come do this radio show at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they had to wake her up. It was horrible, horrible situation in her house. And so we're trying to figure out what it is that drives you crazy as well. And we were thinking that, boy, the world is really going nuts. I mean, there's all these problems and all these unusual circumstances, and we have some unusual music as well. But we're going to start with, we thought, was a little craziness in the case of laws. Everybody knows that they have to obey the law, right? Now, my theory is the law protects those who break it, mostly. I mean, it doesn't really protect those of us who obey it, because nobody has to watch us. But Debbie has a nice little set of laws on the books here that we're just going to read to you and let you listen to. We're going to make some comments about, but these are actual laws on the books. And if this doesn't drive you crazy in March, nothing will. Deb, what's the first one there?
Well, the very first one in this book, and working in a library, I see a lot of books. I order a lot of books. A lot of books come across my desk. And this book is called Chickens May Not Cross the Road, which is actually a law someplace. But in San Francisco, of all places, elephants may not walk on Main Street unless they're on a leash.
That's in San Francisco, which we know is a strange place to begin with. But for those of you that own elephants, period, I think that law is not quite going to be enough to keep this thing in line with what we expect from a pet owner.
Yeah, well, on the other side of the country, in Brooklyn, donkeys are not allowed to sleep in bathtubs.
Now, that is the reason my son moved from Brooklyn, because I think if that were true, if people were letting this go on and on endlessly, donkeys sleeping in bathtubs, it's just not a kosher thing to do when it comes to pet ownership again.
Well, you know, talking about pets, and a lot of these have to do with animals. In Paulding, Ohio, a place I've never heard of, policemen are allowed to bite a dog if they think that it will calm the dog down.
And that's not a hot dog we're talking about. We're talking about real dogs.
You can
bite the dog if it will calm the dog down. I don't know if that works for German Shepherds or pit bulls, but maybe for small dogs like Chihuahuas, it might.
Well, yeah, and talking about some larger animals, horses may not eat fire hydrants in Marshalltown, Iowa.
Now, that begins to worry me, because what are the fire hydrants made out of, hay? Because if they are, no wonder they have a problem in that particular town, Marshalltown, Iowa.
And let me just say one more. This is Memphis, Tennessee, which I probably will be heading to sometime in May. And I'll have to remember this one. No one may drive while asleep.
All right. That is something that we should have in the books in New York, because I think that happens more often than not. People driving when they're asleep. At least it's happened to me. On my way to work, when I was working, I would drive 5 or 6 miles and not know I did it. I don't know if I was sleeping or not, but I was certainly thinking of something else. So maybe...
Easy to be distracted.
Yeah. Easily distracted. So what's all the fuss about? Let's take a listen to this.
To know, don't you mind about the future? Don't you try to think ahead? Save tomorrow for tomorrow. think about today instead.
What's the buzz, tell me what's happening? What's the buzz,
I could give you facts and figures.
What's the buzz,
even give you plans and forecasts. Even tell you where I'm going.
When do we ride to Jerusalem? When do we ride to Jerusalem? When do we ride to Jerusalem? When do we ride to Jerusalem?
Why should you want to know? Why are you obsessed with fighting times and fates you can't defy? If you knew the path we're riding, you'd understand it less
what's
than
buzz?
I.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Let me try to cool down this bit. Let me try to cool down this bit. Let me try to cool down this bit. Let me try to cool down this. Let me try. Let me try to cool down this. Let me try to cool down this bit.
That is good while you prattle through your supper. Where and when and who and how. She alone has tried to give me what I need right here now.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
What's the fuss? Tell me what's happening. That's what Deb and I are thinking. What's going on here? How come this winter is lasting so long? We're all inside, cooped up, no fresh air. All we see is white outside. That's just not American. Maybe it's not even for human beings. But basically, we're driving ourselves crazy thinking about this. So that song just sort of sums it up. What's all the fuss about? Well, the fuss is that we're waiting for spring to happen. We want it to happen quick. And if the Congress wants to act on something, that's something they should do right now, I think. In any case.
Pass a law.
Right. Pass another law that we won't obey, right? In any case, we were talking about driving while asleep. That's a law in what was the state?
It was in Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee. Wow, that's a strange thing. But we have another little story here. A two-year-old in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, if you know, Florida is the hotbed of strange things. She was doing some chores to pay. She has to do some chores now to pay off a $4 ticket she got while driving her toy convertible around her apartment complex. The police stopped her, gave her a ticket for not speeding, I guess for being a nuisance. The good news for the toddler is that the ticket won't be held against her in court because I guess there were some complaints or some concern, maybe that's a better word, of people in the complex were worried about her driving in the roads while other cars were parking or pulling in.
But wasn't she being a little bit crazy with her driving? I think she bumped into a few cars.
She was erratic. She was probably sick of this winter too, and she was driving. Well, I don't know if they have winter in Florida.
Well, actually, it's been very cold down there.
Very cold, right?
They've had some days when it was down in the 30s. So
30 degrees in Florida. Can you imagine that? I mean, this whole country has been covered with cold weather for quite a time now, and it's just driving people crazy, including two-year-olds.
Global warming.
Yeah, right. I blame Al Gore for all this situation. But in any case, the two-year-old is fine. The mother is a little surprised by all the attention she's gotten for getting this ticket. But I think the police officers were not doing it in a nasty way. They were just having a little bit of fun, concerned about the two-year-old's welfare as well. In any case, laws have to be obeyed, and driving crazily, whether you're 2 years old or 82 years old, have to be obeyed, as long as they're not too crazy, and don't drive us too crazy as well. So for those of you that work on the highway, and we have a little song here for county highway workers. Highway workers have to work in all kinds of weather. I know sometimes they're made fun of, but for the most part, they do a very admirable job of keeping the roads clean, salted, sanded, and repaired.
And absolutely indispensable this winter.
Right. We couldn't have done without them because while we were sleeping, worried to see if we're going to have a snow day the next day if you have kids in school. They were out plowing the roads and making sure the roads were safe for everybody. And we have to give them a little bit of credit for being conscious about our safety and not so much their own. So here is a Bruce Springsteen song dedicated to the county highway workers and highway workers in general. All right, I've got to make sure I get the right song here. That's not it. that's not the song I wanted. So
still a good song, right?
Still a good song. Born in the USA. Man, oh man, aren't we happy about that? Here we go. Working on the Highway, that was by The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, and of course it's dedicated to all the county, town, village highway workers in Columbia and Greene counties who do an outstanding job of keeping our roads repaired, cleaned, and snow-free, especially during this winter, which has been one of the coldest and toughest on record as far as I can remember. I've never been so cold during the year as I have been this year, and it's just been extended cold weather, which I don't know what's going to be the way the summer's going to turn out. I hope the summer's not as hot as it's been cold this winter, but we'll find out. Anyway, Deb and I are doing this little crazy March Madness craziness. And, of course, in the news and on the radio and on TV, you hear all this strange stuff. And we've concentrated a bit on some, small items, stupid laws on the books, the fact that tickets with two-year-olds are given tickets. And pets, of course, are a big part of that. Watching cats and dogs and elephants on leashes can be a real problem for people who are trying to obey the law. But we've got a particular one that I think if you were listening to the news, you may have heard this one. It's about a very, very nasty cat. And Deb, you want to just give the details here?
Yeah, well, apparently this cat's pretty good size, 22 pounds. A Himalayan house cat who supposedly or reportedly attacked and scratched a 7-month-old baby, and then the father responded by kicking the cat, who then went on the attack, and the family had to secure itself within the bathroom and call 911 to come and rescue them.
Did they get rescued?
Apparently they did. They did get rescued, and you know, I think all is well. I will tell you, I've had cats a lot. Unusual for cats to occasionally scratch if they're not feeling well, they're frustrated. Who knows if this cat was actually a maniac or just was irritated. The baby was in the wrong place. My cat attacks me at least once a week because she wants more canned food than I'm willing to give her. So.
Yeah, cats, I mean, it's a 22-pound cat is a pretty big cat.
That's a pretty big cat. But, you know, if your average adult male or female should be able to respond responsibly to an angry cat without
calling 911.
Unless it's a, I don't know, maybe possessed. The cat was possessed. Who knows? Maybe the cat was acting out particularly crazy and said that the cat went into a rage. So there you go.
Maybe this was a Rambo cat. But, I mean, the basic fact is cats are smaller than humans, usually. And if they get a little bit nasty, you can spray them with water. You can throw things at them. Or you can manhandle them. I mean, you might get scratched, of course. I've been scratched by cats. I mean, they are very finicky. They tend to be loving at one time, then bite you the next. But speaking of pets, my granddaughter went on a vacation last week. And they left, she left us with her two dogs, two chihuahuas, Max and Mia. They're each about 2 pounds apiece, and we played the Hunger Games for a week. They were always hungry, and I tried to play a game of getting out of their sight because the four eyes, the two on each dog, were watching me every moment of the day, waiting for me to sneak a bite of food that they didn't get. And so that sort of drove me a little crazy, but for the most part, they're pretty easy to take care of until I heard about this story about these chihuahuas that are now forming gangs of dogs that are then chasing people with that little yippy bark of theirs and that little sharp teeth throughout the streets. I guess it's in Arizona. And basically, the problem with chihuahuas in Arizona is that there's far too many of them. They've sort of been let loose in the wild. And the Maricopa County Animal Care and Control says that the number of calls they're getting about dogs is twice as high as it normally is. And this is because of the fact that I guess the people are not taking care of them. They just sort of...
But are they sure that the chihuahuas are not rats?
Well, I mean it'd be hard to tell,
from
right?
From a distance, might be hard to tell.
It could be a big cat. But the cats don't bark, of course. So, they are responding to dozens of calls about chihuahuas who are, you know, chasing people, kids. And, again, a chihuahua gang doesn't sound all that intimidating, but I suppose... having never been chased by one, I'm not really sure what I'm talking about here.
But what's going on with all of these animals all of a sudden becoming vicious and angry and going on the attack? You normally don't hear about cats being that vicious. Even if they're feral, generally they'll run away from you. And chihuahuas, I don't know, they're barky, annoying kinds of little dogs, but I don't think they generally are aggressive, are they?
No, I think the trouble is that people are finding, due to the economy, maybe, it's hard to take care of a pet. I mean, they are needy. They need vet shots. They need food. They need water. They need caring cages. And it goes on and on. And people are saying, well, I just can't afford it anymore. I'm just going to let this dog go on the street or this cat go on the street. And then, of course, the dogs have to fend for themselves. And I think if you've ever watched any programs where animals are in the wild, it doesn't take long for them to revert to their feral nature. And, of course, the small dogs are not a big problem, but there are many, many dogs out there that are on their own and or not being taken care of properly and have to be put into a shelter. And I think you're going to find that this is going to be a trend that continues as people try to cut the expenses of living day to day in the good old United States here.
Well, maybe so, but this Himalayan house cat was 22 pounds, was obviously well taken care of, and you know, was not out on the street, so...
We don't know how old it was, though. Did it say how old the cat was? Because I think the older they get...
They get ornery, yeah.
Yeah, my mom raised a lot of cats, and the older ones were always a little bit touchier, a little bit more sensitive to change, and of course, when they didn't
just
like something...
Just like adults.
Yeah, very true, because I myself, as I get older, I get less tolerant of people, and I tend to scratch and bite, too, at times, so... but I don't go around in gangs, not yet, anyway, so... All right, here we go with... Speaking of pets, here's a pet I had years and years ago, and maybe you did too, and see if you recognize this song.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land. Rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more, and Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along Cherry Lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei.
Puff, the magic dragon. Okay, now that I'm sure we've all had imaginary friends, I don't know if I had any imaginary pets, but I'm sure Puff was a very exciting one. And it has nothing to do with the modern connotations of Puff the Magic Dragon. But just in speaking of pets, do we have one more to follow up with our previous dog, chihuahua, cat problems? And Deb, what was that one?
Apparently in Italy, in Naples, the police have started DNA testing dog feces. because there's so much poop covering the sidewalks, and they don't know who to prosecute, and the residents aren't picking it up, so they're going to do DNA testing to see if they can trace it back to the, I guess, to the animal, and then to the animal's owner, and I'm assuming there will be some kind of a fine or... arrest made on that.
Seems like a ridiculous waste of public taxpayers' money. Even if it's in Naples, Italy, that they're going to be doing DNA on dog poop and have the dog police, the dog poop police, go after people to pick up after their pets.
Yeah, and Naples is in tight financial straits, so I'm not sure how this is going to help. The streets may be cleaner, but... they may be laying off the police officers that they need to patrol the
for serious
the
crimes.
Dogs,
yeah,
to do the sampling, whatever.
I mean, I don't like stepping in dog do, but I mean, I would not want a policeman making sure that there was none on the sidewalk. I think they have better things to do than that. Now, speaking of police and police dogs, we have McGruff. Remember the McGruff, the crime dog? He was always taking a bite out of crime.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, one of the actors who used to play McGruff, the crime dog, named John Russell Morales, was an actor, and he played the crime dog for a while, but then he had a little bit of trouble. I guess he went a little bit crazy, too, because now he's been arrested for possessing 1,000 marijuana plants. I guess he had his own Puff the Magic Dragon pet, and he's also had, they also found a... cache of 30 weapons, including a grenade launcher. I guess when McGruff took out the bite out of the crime, he kept the crime evidence for himself. In any case, the poor guy, they raided his residence. They found these marijuana plants, the ammunition, the weapons, now poor McGruff is behind bars himself. So I guess crime does not pay, even if you are a crime fighter. So that is going to be a story for the ages, I suppose.
Well, I don't know what to say to that one. a grenade launcher? Where the heck do you get something like that? Something you can buy in a gun shop?
Yeah, or maybe like a World War II secondhand.
Yeah.
But I guess they found...
Army surplus store?
They found shotguns, they found pistols, rifles. I don't know. Maybe he was a little bit paranoid about having dealt with crime as a crime dog. Maybe he thought that the crime was a more serious problem than presented to us.
Well, he had a lot of plants he was protecting. Too.
And marijuana, maybe it made him a little bit paranoid, right? Maybe he was smoking too much marijuana. He should have moved to Colorado then if he wanted to smoke marijuana. He shouldn't be, where was he? He was found in, what state was he found in? It doesn't say, does it?
I'm not sure. But, Texas.
Texas. Right. So Texas, not legal to smoke marijuana. So they should have moved to Colorado. He would have fit right in with that crew out there. And the weapons, I don't know about the weapons. They probably wouldn't have liked that. But the marijuana plants would have been fine. We have another story about a woman. This is another crazy woman here. She had her husband was hospitalized. And because she was injecting fecal matter into his IV line. Now, that's what the police should be tracking, not dog poo, but fecal matter from humans, because the substance found was, decided by the police that it was fecal matter from humans discharge, and she put it into his line to kill him, because I guess she was looking for the insurance money. Well, anyway, the poor guy was, 66 years old, so...
Yeah, well, she was 65, and she was retired registered nurse, so...
She knew what she was doing.
Well, yeah, like she did or she didn't.
But that goes back to the story about, if you can't live with somebody, you don't kill them. You can move out. You go someplace else. You find somebody new. No matter how old you are, taking a human life is just not worth it in the end. And if you're crazy enough, I guess, if you're crazy enough to kill somebody... You're crazy enough to put fecal matter into an IV line as well. All right, maybe thanks to science, we are able to track dog poo and maybe catch a woman who's trying to kill her husband. But let's see if that's true for other things as well.
Science!
blinded me with science. Yes, yeah, science can be blinding, all right. That's how you use it. As a scientist myself, I like to know the facts before I make a conclusion. And that's why when we're dealing with this weather, I tend to doubt or have my doubts about global warming being the cause of our current ills in the world. I think there are certainly things going on with the climate change, but I'm not necessarily sure that man is part of that, as insignificant as he is compared to the entire global situation. In any case, we are, Deb and I are doing this show. We were coming across some things that are strange and crazy, outlandish, nutty, and of course, besides the weather and the fact that we've been cooped up for 2 months, staring at ourselves in mirrors, we are going to give you a few ideas as to what other people think about crazy people. And one of the things I regularly check is called the Darwin Awards. For those of you that know Charles Darwin, he was an evolutionist who believed that because of the fact that evolution, or animals and man included, tend to move towards those that are most capable of adapting to change, they are the ones that are going to survive. So we get survival of the fittest. And in the case of humans, which, as I think I've said before on this program, this being our one-year anniversary, by the way, I thought I might point that out, 1 year on the air, once, so this is our 13th show, is that in humans, that's not always true. Sometimes the fittest don't survive because they're not too bright at times. And the fact is that since we tend to take care of those that are a little bit less fit than they should be, they tend to live longer. And in the case of the Darwin Awards, what they do is they pick out a particular person or circumstance, and they award that person with the award for being maybe the least able to fit into society. I'll give you an example. The 2013 Darwin Award was given to a newspaper reporter. He lived in England, the United Kingdom, and he wanted to do a story on the homeless population, how they survived, how they dealt with not having food, not having the kinds of materials that all the rest of us have. So in order to advance his career, he decided to become a homeless person. He borrowed a sleeping bag. He waved goodbye to his friends and family and set off into the streets alone, saying that he was going to do the same thing as the homeless do. He was going to sleep it rough, scrounge for food, interact with other homeless people as possible. And 3 days later, he was found frozen to death in a boarded up hostel. Now, they weren't sure what happened here. They don't think that he was killed. They just think that he was just unprepared for being homeless. And this is true for those of us that, for those that do survive being homeless. It's a very, very tough life. You can't just go out there and pretend you're homeless and live through what they live through without having that experience.
Well, he fulfilled his goal in terms of living exactly the way they did and having the experience of what happens to homeless people in this kind of weather that we've been having this winter, this cold, you know, hypothermia, and a lot of, I'm sure, frostbite, too.
Yeah, I mean, people that go through that kind of, whether they do it by choice or not, it's a very, very tough life. And although I suppose they wrote a story about him, but he never, unfortunately, never lived long enough to reap the benefits of writing that story.
Well, you know, as a former journalist, I think I need to say he maybe should have done a little bit of research before going out on the streets.
Yeah, so do I. I think good newspaper reporters, especially investigative ones, you know, do their homework, their research first before they go out and pretend they are somebody they are not. All right, we got one more. We got 2012. Deb is going to do the 2012 Darwin winner, and this was a little bit different story.
This is so bizarre. So this guy was 43 years old. This is North Carolina. He was at a friend's house. He saw a what was described as a sausage jar containing some fluid, apparently a yellow fluid, liquid. And I guess he just assumed it was an alcoholic beverage, and he took a swig of it and realized almost immediately that it was gasoline, and he spit it out and went on to his clothes. And then, you know, I guess to help him self-recover from the shock of that experience, he decided to have a cigarette. And unfortunately, that combination, the gasoline and the lit flame and the cigarette, obviously the man was pretty badly burned, and the firefighters had to, you know, rush him to the burn center where he actually died. So a couple of odd things about this. I mean, would you go to somebody's house and drink unidentified yellow liquid in a jar? I mean, salsa obviously is not yellow.
No.
So
right.
It clearly was not, the label had nothing to do with the contents. But gasoline has a pretty distinctive smell.
Right.
And to put that into your mouth and spit it out, he obviously knew it wasn't something he should be drinking. And that smell of gasoline, which is pretty much unmistakable, to then light a cigarette, hard to know what to say.
I don't really have anything against drinking gasoline, but you should not be smoking.
No drinking gasoline and smoking at the same time.
That's right. It's just a bad combo. I think he was a super freak. Okay, super freak. Anybody who drinks gasoline, smokes cigarettes is among those that are called super freaks. I suppose there are others that we could also include in that category. And if you've got any particularly unusual ones, don't be afraid to send them to me, wblawrence65@gmail.com. You are listening to The World According to Lawrence, March 18th. It's a Tuesday. We are celebrating the fact that March makes us go mad. And this is WGXC 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And you are certainly want to keep, we don't want to go mad for no reason. So keep us on the air. And if you have not made a donation to the radio station, consider it. You can drop it off. You can mail it. You can call in if you like, and they'll be glad to talk to you, take your money, and you'll help out a good cause, which is free and unfettered radio announcements and shows that are not the regional, national type. They're a little bit more unique. I think we should always protect the unique, even if you drink gasoline and smoke cigarettes, I guess. All right,
well,
we're going to go.
His rights were protected. He was allowed to smoke, you know, so.
He was allowed to smoke.
He was allowed to smoke. He wasn't prohibited from smoking, so. His rights were protected. He was allowed to smoke.
All right. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, so. He was.
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot I needed to talk into a microphone. Sorry.
Anyway, going on with the Darwin Awards, we got a couple more years here. 2011, there was a protest in Onondaga, New York, which is just up north here. The gentleman who was protesting the motorcycle helmet laws. Now, of course, like seat belts and things of that nature, helmets are made, or you're made to wear a helmet if you ride a motorcycle. And this particular gentleman who lived in Onondaga was deciding that he was going to protest that he rode without a helmet. Of course, that was the day he had his accident and flipped over the handlebars of his motorcycle, falling on his head, and fatally injuring himself to the point where he passed away, and his brother had to do his eulogy. And his brother said he would do it again if he had to, but of course he won't do it again because he didn't make it through that first protest. The idea of protesting things have to make sense, and I think to make it work. And if, for example, you're protesting the use of guns and you kill yourself with a gun, that would not fit in too well. If you're protesting against drugs and they find you with an overdose, that's not going to work out too well. It goes on and on. You've got to be sincere in your beliefs. And if you're going to drive without a motorcycle helmet, then you better be prepared to take the risk. All right, and we're just going to do one more in 2011. And what happened in 2011, Deb?
2011. Sorry, I'm apparently not talking into the microphone again. I don't have anything for 2011, but I see that we do have something here for 2010 in South Korea.
That's what I meant, 2010. It sounded like 11 to me.
Not the same, Bill.
I'm going crazy. I told you that.
March Madness. So apparently some a man who was in a wheelchair was annoyed that an elevator kept departing without him, and so he got angry about that, and he started ramming his wheelchair into the doors, and apparently did it three times. And unfortunately, what happened was that the doors opened at some point, and when he went to ram it again, he plunged down the elevator hole and I did not survive that.
So, I mean, here's another guy. He's in a wheelchair already. I mean, he wants to get in the elevator, and of course, he can't wait until the elevator opens, so he keeps ramming the elevator with his wheelchair. It does open up, but the elevator's not there. It's above him, and the doors open, of course. Then you have the big cavity for the elevator travel. He goes down into the elevator. So, again, this is a type of protest which does not make sense. He's another super freak. So it all depends on how you're thinking about things. And in that regard, let's take and listen to how you might think about things. And this would be the song I would apply to that case.
Thank you. till the sun fell down. You kept it going.
So you might think I'm crazy. Well, today I am. So is Debbie. We are both crazy today. We have been shut up for far too long. And that was You Might Think I'm Crazy by The Cars. And Debbie has some experience with The Cars, right? You knew that group, or you did something with them?
Well, when many years ago when I was working for a film company in Los Angeles called the Film Consortium, which primarily did commercials, but they did have a music video arm to the company, and the Cars was one of the groups that we did the music videos for.
Yeah, they did some great videos, and they have some great music. I always enjoyed their music, and that's nice to be associated. It's 6 degrees of separation, you see. So
there you go.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, another thing that drives us crazy, and probably you too, is the kids. Kids drive me crazy. My case, grandkids. However, my kids, when they were younger, also did that. If you have young kids in the house or kids growing up or kids in school, I'm sure you have felt your bit of craziness with them as well. And we have a little few suggestions for those of you with kids. And this comes from a magazine called Parents. And Deb, what are some of those good suggestions?
Yeah, so my daughter has a subscription, apparently, to Parents. And I was visiting yesterday, and I have two grandchildren. And this article headline caught my eyes, 10 Things You Should Never Say to a Kid. So I was reading the article and realized when I got done that I had said at least 8 of the 10 things to my daughter probably fairly often when she was growing up. So this list of things you should never say to your child is, great job.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen, no.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, of course, we know that doesn't happen either.
You're okay.
Except when you're bad.
You know, I mean, I say you're okay to my 10-week-old granddaughter all the time. When she starts to cry, I pat her and say, you're okay. Apparently, I'm damaging her psyche in some way when I do that.
Yeah, your daughter has turned out pretty bad, right?
Yeah. And then, hurry up. Apparently, you should not say hurry up. Yeah. And anybody who has a 2 or 3 year old, I just cannot think that you can go through life without saying to a 2 or 3 year old, hurry up. I would take some self-control not to ever say that to a kid. But what they're saying you're supposed to say is, put a positive spin on it. Turn it into a game. And say, why don't we race to see who can get her pants on first?
Yeah, well.
I don't know. Well, if you're eating, aren't your pants already on? I don't know.
I would hope so. I guess when you get older, it doesn't matter. But so hurry up. What are the rest of them?
Okay. So this one, which I never said, was I'm on a diet because I'm never on a diet, and I like to eat. And you know,
you don't say it to your kids. So.
And here's one. Never say to your child, we can't afford that.
Right, because you can.
Yeah, I pretty much said that to my daughter when she was looking at Ivy League colleges. Right. We can't afford that. Yet she managed to survive. Be careful. Can't say that. Can't say, let me help.
No, they're on their own. Independence.
That's bad. Yeah, there you go. And don't talk to strangers now.
And don't talk to strangers. We don't ever want kids to know that's something they should avoid, right? All right, kids, they drive you crazy. And, of course, if you have a kid, this is for you. As we sign out of here for our 13th show, our 1 year anniversary. We want to thank you for listening in, and we are now out of here. Good night. Goodbye. Good afternoon.